Good morning again, everyone. Thanks so much for being here. I'm Walter. I'm the teaching and small groups minister here at our church. And it's so good to see your bright and smiling, shining faces this morning on a double whammy, snow, and a time change. So thank you for being here with us. It's a good day to be here. We're in the middle of this series that's heading right toward Easter. Easter's on the horizon, and we're working our way there. Reading through the Gospel of Mark. We're taking it one chapter at a time. We started in chapter 10 because we're looking specifically at the last week of Jesus' life before the crucifixion. In this last week, Jesus very clearly sees that the crucifixion and Easter are just over the horizon for him. Being God, he knows these kinds of things are coming down the pipes, and so he spends his time doing and saying things that will prepare his disciples for what's ahead of them. He spends his time doing and saying the things that are most important. Because Jesus knows his time is limited, he wants to use it as well as he possibly can. And that makes me think about us. What if you knew that your time was limited? What if you had a friend who was about to pass away? Or maybe what if you had your kids and they got a job and they're going to move out of state across the country somewhere, and you know that you just have a couple days left with them? What if you yourself are facing a terminal disease and you know that you only have a few days left to have conversations, to do things, to share with your loved ones? I think when we can clearly see the limits of our time left with others, it helps us more clearly see how to spend that time doing and saying the most important things. Jesus certainly did that. And we're going to see here in Mark chapter 12. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. That's today's text. We're going to see Jesus doing just that kind of thing, teaching his disciples, spending time in the temple courts, and teaching things that are the most important. Now, today's text in Mark chapter 12, it's a topic that if you've been around church very long at all, you're probably familiar with. You've probably heard something along the lines of love God and love people. These are the foundational commandments. These are commandments that Jesus himself identifies as being the most important, the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And because Jesus has identified them as being most important, many churches have paid attention, and so many church mission statements come out of these love God, love people, these two concepts. You've heard probably 16 sermons on these concepts. And so this teaching has become foundational, basic, if you will, to what being a Christian is all about. And you know, when something is most important and also most basic, that's good for us, and it's kind of bad for us too. It's good for us because if what's most important is most basic, then it's easy to comprehend. We understand what Jesus is talking about. Love God, love people. These aren't difficult concepts to comprehend. But also, when what's most important is most basic, that can raise some difficulties in that we often want to jump over the basics and into what's more exciting or more fun or more stimulating in some way. I've given basic beginner piano lessons for quite a few years now. I started back in Illinois with my church kids there, and now I teach my own kids and my niece and nephew. And every beginner piano student is so excited to sit down at the piano. And they have heard the music on the radio. They think they're going to be probably not the next Beethoven because they don't know who he is, but maybe the next Carrie Underwood or John Legend. And so they sit down in their first lesson, and they're all eager and excited. And then we get into it, and they're very underwhelmed because they didn't have in mind the concept of talking about posture and how we hold our hands at the piano and musical notation and playing the same, like, two notes the same way over and over and over again for the first week. Every beginner piano student I've had is very underwhelmed. We always start in September. But the thing is, by focusing on these basics and diligently paying attention to them, over the course of a couple months, by December every year, we always end up with a beginner piano student who can play an understandable, recognizable Christmas song. And that's a big moment for them. But to get there, we had to start with the basics. And that's what we're doing today here at South. So turn with me again, Mark chapter 12. We're going to start here in Mark 12, verse 28. We're going to talk about Jesus' words, basic, understandable, maybe not so easy to live out, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Mark 12, 28. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, and so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Now, I want to pause here and remind you all that last week we left Jesus standing in front of this dead, cursed fig tree. And if that makes no sense to you, go back and listen to the rerun from last week, and it hopefully should become more clear. So Jesus was standing at this fig tree, and then he headed from there back into Jerusalem, and he ends up in the temple courts. This is kind of awkward for everyone involved, because literally the previous day, Jesus had been there. He'd been overturning tables. He's been chasing people out. He'd stopped commerce from happening. I think it's the Gospel of John that even tells us he braided a whip before he did all this. And then he goes in and he clears this place out. So this wasn't like Jesus is just super mad and flies out of control. It's Jesus thought about this. This is a premeditated action. He chased everybody out. He yells, you know, this place is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you've changed it into a den of thieves, pronounces judgment on the temple, and then he goes out. He leaves. Well, it's the next day, and Jesus is back here. And you can just imagine if something like that happened here. We'd all be uncomfortable. We wouldn't know what to do. People would probably approach this madman and like try to figure out why he's here again. That's what happened. And so you see all these groups of religious leaders of the temple, they come up to Jesus. And what they do is they start to question him. And they have these questions that aren't necessarily, let's have a dialogue, Jesus, and talk about the finer points of our faith. They have these questions that are designed to trap him. And so you've got some supporters of Herod who come up with a question. And you've got some Pharisees and some Sadducees. And eventually you've got this scribe who says, "Jesus, what is the most important commandment?" And this is Jesus' response, verse 29. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this, 'Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these.'" Now, this questioning of Jesus is fascinating. If you get a chance after church, go back and read all of Mark 12 and just see how Jesus interacts with these people. Because in every instance when Jesus talks to them, he answers them well, and not just well. It says, my favorite part here is in verse 17 before what we're reading. It says, his reply completely amazed them. Jesus was answering their questions in a way that was just unheard of. And you'll see at the end of our reading today that after we're done with this question on what is the most important commandment, that no one dares ask Jesus any more questions. He's literally silenced his critics, at least temporarily. Now, the answer that Jesus gives here, what is the most important commandment? Jesus says, this is the most important commandment. And he takes these two passages, one from Leviticus and one from Deuteronomy, and he puts them together. And what Jesus is doing is not really giving a new answer. He's giving an answer that everybody already was familiar with. By this point in Jewish history, the very, very good, devout, practicing Jews were reciting Deuteronomy 6 on a daily basis. They were reciting the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength." So they already recognized that loving God was something important. And also by this time in Jewish history, rabbis and other teachers had recognized the theme that runs through the Torah of loving our fellow Israelites, of loving our neighbors. And so this wasn't new. And in fact, the passages that Jesus, that he speaks from are not new at all. They're the only parts of the Old Testament that everyone in the room can actually agree on. If you remember the groups here, we've got different groups. We've got the Sadducees, and they only hold to the first five books of the Bible. First five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, and they say, this is our scriptures. And so that led them into conflicts with the Pharisees, who said, yeah, it's the first five books and also the prophets and the writings. And so the whole Old Testament was accepted by the Pharisees. And The disagreements here were very strong. You see this elsewhere in the book of Acts. Paul gets out of being beaten, almost killed, by bringing up a question on resurrection of the dead and how the Sadducees didn't agree, and you know, it basically sent the whole Sanhedrin into chaos. But Jesus here in Mark chapter 12 decides to take this passage that everyone in the room can agree on, Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and puts them together and says, hey, the most important commandments, love God and love people. And so, in other words, everyone in the room had heard this before. Jesus wasn't charting new territory. He was just reminding everyone of what they already knew. Let's keep reading. Verse 32. The teacher of religious law replied, well said, teacher. You've spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. Again, you see this particular scribe responding to Jesus and recognizing what Jesus has said and said, well said, teacher. In other words, I hear your response. I know your response. I agree with your response. Man, Mark chapter 12 is such a fun read. And we're, again, just focusing on this small section. But I'd encourage you, again, go read this after church today, because this whole chapter is full of all this strategic maneuvering by the religious leaders and the political leaders in Jesus' day in the temple, trying to trap Jesus. And it's got tension, and there's intrigue here. And yet it's interesting to see that for all of the discussion on theology and finer points of what it means to be God's people in Jesus' day, it ends up back here, at the basics, at this foundational level of love God, love people. And I believe that it's the same for us today, that if you want your faith to be a healthy faith, that you need to start with the basics. Love God, love people. Now, most Decembers in my life, I sit down at my piano and I pull out all of my old Christmas repertoire of sheet music. And almost all of this comes back from my days as a young adult. When I was in high school and college, I was practicing piano probably an hour, sometimes more than an hour, every single day. And while I'm not a person of great musical talent like Wally and Kara and some of our musicians, I do know from experience that practice, if not makes perfect, at least makes proficient. And so by the time I finished college, I was a fairly competent classical piano player. And so every December, I get out my music and I think, I'm going to play this. And then I sit down. And if you're a musician, you know how this goes. I haven't really touched the keyboard at all during the rest of the year. I haven't played any classical music. And so I sit down and I think, I'm going to play all this music. It'd be really fun to play for my family. And I can't. My hands struggle to reach the beyond octaves and sleigh ride and those chromatic scales and some of the medleys I play. I can't do it. And so I have to stop and I have to slow down and I have to start taking it line by line and measure by measure. And I have to play my scales and play my hand in exercises. And I have to basically go through a workout routine to get my hands limbered up and build those muscles up again and to get my mind back in the place where I can read this music and play it. And that all takes a lot of concentration and effort and work. It's like a basic workout routine if you haven't worked out for a while or if you're a runner or something else. You start way back where you wish you weren't. And so for me, focusing on all those basics isn't fun. I want to skip right over all that. I want to skip to performance. I want to skip to playing for my family and enjoying the music that the piano can make. And yet, I need the basics. I need the basics. The basics take time and concentration and repetition. And I think it's the same way for our faith. Love God, love people. How many times have we heard these commandments and yet we need to repeat them and concentrate on them and spend our time doing them. It's the basics I need when I'm sitting down in December to play that Christmas music, and it's the basics that we all, as God's people, need today. Man, we want to jump right to the exciting moments, the mountaintop experiences, the fulfillment of promise. We want to jump in and find deep truth in our scripture, and yet, at the end of the day, it comes down to that. Love God, love people. Oftentimes when I encounter somebody who wants to go deeper, it just, to them, it means they want to learn more interesting facts about Jesus. But to really go deeper in our faith, I think, demands execution. It demands us to implement our faith, to live it out. Living out your faith on a daily basis is the deepest level of Christianity, if there were levels. And so today's most important words from Jesus are our faith at its most basic. Love God, love people. We really shouldn't need much more of a sermon today, and you know, we could all go out from here because we all know this, but don't get too excited because the clock says I have 9 more minutes, so you get 9 more minutes of sermon. Let's talk about that first part, love God. Love God. If I asked you for your definition of loving God, what does it mean to you to love God? Would you respond with, you know, it's a feeling, it's knowing God's presence in my life? Would you say something about an experience? Would your definition, line up with the definition that we find in Scripture? Because I got to tell you, I don't know that a biblical definition of love is as much about a feeling as it is about a choice. Jesus tells us, he says just exactly what it looks like. He tells us exactly what it looks like to love God in John chapter 14, verse 15. Two Gospels over here. John 14, verse 15. Jesus says this: if you love me, obey my commandments. I want it to be longer than that. I want it to be more complex. I want it to sound like feelings or experiences. But Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. How do you show your love for God? How do you live out love for God? You obey God's expectations for your life. You live out your faith. And so if you want to get there, if you want to show God that you love him, well, you need to know what God's expectations for you are, and then you need to put them into practice. And look, that might sound pretty simple for you, but do you know what God's expectations for your life are? Do you know the commandments that he has for his people? If you don't, that's one of the reasons that God's story is one of our core values here at South. We think that every follower of Jesus needs to read this and internalize it, memorize it, know it. Spend your time in God's word. And if you don't know, if you think about it and you're like, I don't necessarily know what God expects of me, can I recommend starting to read in the book of James? It's a very dense, very short, 5 chapters. It's a letter written by Jesus' brother, James, and it will rock your world. God has very high expectations for his people and living out their faith and demonstrably following Jesus, and you can find out about those by reading the book of James. It won't take you long to read. It'll probably take you a lifetime to live out. Know God's expectations, know God's commandments, and then live them out. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Show your love for God by living out obedience. And then love for people. How do we love others? And you might think, I'm really good at loving others. I love my friends. I love my family. I love my dog, because dogs are people too. I love the people who are nice to me at my workplace. You know, you might think about this and think it's easy. I naturally love others. But I think love people goes beyond that. It's not just the people who are nice to you or you like. It's the bully at your school. It's the coworker who's terrible to you all the time. It's the neighbor who throws things in your yard and doesn't care and plays loud music. It's, you know, it's the people that you drive by on your way to work every morning and you see the same people there. It's the people in your circles. Love your neighbor as yourself, the people that are in your life. And love is lived out in our actions. Jesus says this about love. It's another short verse worth committing to your memory. John 15, 13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now there, Jesus is specifically talking about the fact that he is going to lay down his life for his disciples. But that principle is translatable, and it shows up all over Scripture. A biblical definition of love, in our opinion, is putting another person's highest good above your own. Love is lived out in our actions. If you want to love others, it's going to cost you. If you want to really love others, it's going to require sacrifice of our time and our possessions and our comfort and our money and our attention, our convenience. Also that others can live and so that they can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior too. And so, hey look, that's what our faith is about. Loving God and loving people. It involves obedience. It involves sacrifice. It involves putting others' highest good above our own. And it's one of the most, no, it's not one of, it is the most important commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when I started thinking about this sermon a few weeks ago, I knew it was Mark 12, and I was excited about it because you've got such fun stuff here in Mark 12. You've got Jesus responding to some questions over taxes, and he makes the case that it is very possible and normal to be a good citizen of whatever country you live in while still giving your full allegiance to Jesus. He answers some questions from Herodians. He talks about generosity. He talks about eternal life and tells some Sadducees, you are very mistaken. And it's just fun to see Jesus interact with all these people. And so there's a lot of good stuff here. I started taking notes, reading through Mark chapter 12, and thought we are going to have some fun on March 10. And I got so excited that I pretty much discounted Mark 12, verses 28 through 34. I thought our people know this. If you've been in this church for more than a couple years, you've heard a sermon or two on this text. You know this. And yet, man, we struggle with implementation. We struggle to live this out. And these are the words that I think God wanted us to hear today. And so how are you doing with that? How are you doing at truly living out your love for God? Are you being obedient? Are there areas in your life where you're like, I kind of know God wants me to do this, but I'm ignoring it. I want to go my own way. There have been areas in my life like that. How are you doing at loving people? Are there people that you're avoiding or ignoring? Are there people that you're harboring resentment toward? What can you do to put their highest good above your own? Man, this is basic stuff. It's basic stuff. But I really believe that a healthy faith starts right there with the basics. Now would you join me in prayer? Jesus, we are so thankful for your words. We're thankful for your example. We're thankful for your sacrifice for us so that we can live forever in the presence of God. Father God, we are sorry for the ways in which we don't live out love, in which we ignore you, in which we go our own way, disobey. God, help us to love you more. We want to follow you and we want to serve you. And so this week, God, put on our hearts and our minds ways in which we need to pay attention to you. Call to our minds some passages in Scripture where we're living lives that are out of step with you, and help us to come back into step and to show you our love for you by our obedience. And God, I pray also that we would go out and live out love our neighborhoods, in our families, in our workplaces and schools, that others would notice that we're different because of how we treat them and how we sacrifice for them, how we love them in your name. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would empower us, and that you would help us to walk in step with you, and it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray these things. Amen.